Chapter 3. The Stranger. Max and Sarah were walking side by side. The school bell had just rung, and they filed their way through a myriad of students crisscrossing the school grounds. The pair continued to walk down the main avenue of the town. "Max, do you believe in karma?" Sarah said.
"What's that?"
"You know, like if you do something bad will happen to you back." Max seemed preoccupied with other thoughts.
"I don't know, Sarah, sometimes bad things happen to good people."
Sarah paused to think.
"Max, how did your grandma die?"
Max walked in silence a few paces before replying.
"She had a heart attack."
"I'm sorry." Sarah remained solemn as Max continued speaking. "My mom says she was healthy, she wasn't overweight, she didn't have high cholesterol." Sarah interjected.
"You mean cholesterol?"
"Yeah.
That.
She didn't have high blood pressure."
"Either."
"So why did she have to have a heart attack?"
"My dad says we all have a destiny and we can't change it, no matter how hard we try," she answered.
"Sarah, my grandma was the nicest person in the world."
Sarah looked directly at Max. Max looked like he would cry at any moment.
"I wish I could go back in time and save her. If I had a time machine, I'd go back and tell her."
"What would you tell her?" she said.
Max paused and looked at her a long time.
"Please stop smoking, Grandma."
"But Max, you heard Mr. Phelps. Even if you could time travel, you can only go forward, not backwards. And time travel hasn't even been invented yet," she insisted.
"I know, but what if they have already invented it sometime in the future? If we could get a message to them, they could visit us anytime, today even."
Sarah bit her lip to hide a smirk. This was the wrong time to smile. She knew how much Max hated to be laughed at. It was like a phobia even worse than her fear of spiders.
"What if, Sarah, they could come back and pick me up," he continued, "and take me to where I wanted to go?"
"You mean like a time-traveling taxi, Uber to the future?" she said with a smile.
"No," Max said.
But he was unsure.
"Well, yes, sort of."
"But how would you call a time-travel cab, Max? There's no app for that," she said.
Max ignored her sarcasm and became more insistent.
"I know, but I saw this video once, a time capsule in the ground."
"You're going to time travel in the ground?" she asked.
Max chastised her now.
"Stop being stupid."
"Sorry.
I mean, there was this documentary. The people in the town were saving things, books and dolls, into a metal box and they buried it in the ground."
Max searched her face.
This was his best argument.
"It was supposed to stay there until someone opened it up in 100 years.
"That's dumb."
Max threw his hands up in the air. It was the classic touchdown gesture the referee makes in football. But in this instance it said, "Chalk up another victory for girl stupidity."
"No, Sarah."
Max continued.
His face was getting red.
"In Boston, they just found a time capsule from Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. It's real."
"No, they didn't."
Max's head was about to pop off.
Sarah looked at him.
She was 2 inches taller than Max and a girl. She wondered how this stubborn boy even accepted her as his best friend.
"Yeah, they did. It had a coonskin cap in it," he said.
Max was almost yelling.
"That's the Alamo, Max, not the Revolutionary War."
"What if I wrote a letter and buried it in the ground for 10,000 years?
"Even if they found your letter, why would they come see you?" she asked.
Max was red in the face. His backpack was sliding down his shoulders. As Sarah reached over to help him on the strap, a car suddenly came up the main avenue behind them. The tires screeched. The pair jerked their heads behind them.
A dark sedan with tinted windows accelerated dangerously and veered to the center line where Max and Sarah were walking. Seconds before impact, a man bolted across the road and caught Max and Sarah under the arms. He was a big man, over 6 feet tall, and dressed in dark clothes. He lifted them bodily to the sidewalk. The dark sedan swerved back to its lane recklessly and raced up the street. Max and Sarah watched the car disappear up the main avenue. The man in the dark clothes and strange hat stood before them. The sun was directly behind him, and his face was in shadow. "Are you two okay?" the man said. "Yeah," Max replied and squinted up at the man. "Thank you." Sarah's books had fallen from her arms and lay scattered in the road. "My homework," she exclaimed. A single paper flew in the wind, and Max chased it down. When he returned to help Sarah with her books, the stranger had vanished. "Where did he go?" Max asked. Sarah continued to squat over her papers in disarray in the street. Max picked up a manila folder and handed it to her. "That's my history," she said. Max looked all around him. "That man, where did he go?" Suddenly, a second car beeped at them, and Max and Sarah startled. They filled their arms and moved to the side of the road. "Thanks, Max." From up the street, Butchie Heiss approached with his perennial sidekick Harrison Sloan. "Look, it's Max the four-eyed midget." Sarah and Max turned to look. Butchie walked into Max, deliberately giving him a hard shove. "Quit it, Butchie, you're a shitwad," Max yelled. Butchie kept on walking and then turned to face him. "What'd you call me?" he asked. Harrison came up behind Max and held his backpack. Max was immobile and tried to shake free. Butchie approached him menacingly. "Stop it, Butchie, he's not bothering you," Sarah yelled. Butchie was unswayed. "Yeah, he bothers me. I don't like his pig nose and four eyes." Butchie leaned in on Max and wedged a finger between his eyeglasses and the bridge of his nose. He flipped the glasses to the ground. "Hey," Max yelled. He swung his shoulders vigorously to escape Harrison's grip. "Four-eyed freak, where's your time travel machine?" Butchie taunted. Harrison laughed. Sarah stooped to look for the glasses. "I'm telling the police," Sarah yelled. "You're a bully." "Let me go," Max cried. Max wiggled some more. His shoulders were slipping out of his oversized backpack. "I'll tell the police you stole my bike," Butchie replied. Sarah was aghast at the untruthfulness of the lie. Butchie saw her face and twisted the knife. "And Harrison's too. You're a liar and a jerk, Butchie Heiss," she screamed. "It's against the law to bully. My dad will have you arrested." The volume of Sarah's yelling had convinced Butchie that it was time to ambush. Butchie leaned into Max's face and whispered one last taunt. "Four-eyed mouse, meet me in the park later." "Go to hell," Max yelled. "I'm telling now," Sarah said even louder. From up the street, Max's maternal grandfather was approaching. Mr. Schieffer, who was 75, didn't see so well without his glasses but heard the commotion. "What are you kids doing?" he said in a loud, sharp tone. Butchie and Harrison scuttled to the opposite side of the road. They started walking as if nothing had occurred. Max's grandfather arrived at the scene. "Hi, Opie," Max greeted him.
"Hi, Mr. Schieffer," Sarah said.
"Are those boys bothering you again, Max?" Max and Sarah answered at the same time.
"No, Grandpa," Max said.
"Yes, they were," Sarah insisted. Grandpa Schieffer put a hand on Max's shoulder. He looked at Sarah.
Max didn't do anything. Their bullies, Mr. Schieffer, Butchie is always bullying in school, she said.
I know, Sarah,
Grandpa Schieffer replied. I knew his father when Max's dad was young. Max remained silent. Grandpa turned to him, anxious to change the subject. You want to go hit some balls today at the field, he said.
Oh boy, yeah, would I?
Max replied. Sarah was too upset to drop the matter. Can we have him arrested, Mr. Schieffer? Bullying is against the law, she insisted.
I know Sarah, he's a bully,
Grandpa Schieffer consoled. But he's only 12. Sometimes we just have to try and deal with difficult people on our own.
He's 14. He stayed back 2 times,
Sarah pleaded. Grandpa smiled at her. Max stooped to pick up a book still lying on the ground. He handed it to Sarah.
I have to finish my homework, she said.
Thanks, Mr. Schieffer.
Bye, Max.
See you tomorrow.
Bye, Sarah,
Max said. Grandpa and Max turned and started walking up the road to their house.
Go run ahead and get your bat and helmet. I'll meet you at the field in 15 minutes, okay?
Grandpa Schieffer said.
Okay, Opie.
A few minutes later, Max was searching his room for his bat and glove. The room was littered with dirty clothes. A book with an asteroid hitting the Earth entitled How the Dinosaurs Die was lying on the bed. Also perched on his bed atop a notebook, pen, and pillow was his dog Scooch. From underneath the bed, Max retrieved a bat and baseball glove. From his closet, he grabbed a helmet. With his baseball helmet on his head, bat in right hand, glove in left, Max ran downstairs, out the front door, down the front steps, and into the garage. He slung a large white sack with a rope handle over his shoulder and tied one end of the rope to his belt buckle. He placed the glove over his right handlebar of his bike and held the bat out in front of him like a mounted knight holding a lancet. Max rode at full speed down the street and into the entrance of Cunningham Park. In a few short minutes, he arrived at the baseball diamond where Grandpa Schieffer was standing at home plate.
You ready to hit my new knuckleball?
Grandpa Schieffer asked.
I'll try,
Max replied. Max handed him the large sack of baseballs, and Grandpa Schieffer fished a ball out and started massaging the red seams. Max walked to the backstop. He set his aluminum bat between his legs as he readjusted the helmet on his head. Almost forgetting, he threw Grandpa Schieffer his baseball glove.
All right, ready?
Max called out. Max stood against the backstop. His bat was cocked. His blue helmet shone in the sun with a large red B.
He hit several balls that Grandpa pitched to him.
Grandpa was just warming up and lobbed the pitches to him with a generous arc. Suddenly, Max hit a streaking line drive past his grandpa, and the old man limboed fast to avoid it.
Good one, Max,
Grandpa called out.
Thanks.
After a few more pitches, Max was beginning to get red hot. Grandpa's pitches had less arc and more velocity, and his aluminum bat responded with a loud ping on every hit pitch. Grandpa Schieffer paused for a minute and has fumbled with a ball in his hands. He was massaging the seams again.
Are you ready for my knuckleball? He called out to Max.
Yup, I'm ready.
Grandpa contorted his face into a silly expression as he put his knuckleball grip on the threads. As the ball flew at Max, it wobbled and danced crazily. The ball did not spin. While it approached, Max could actually see the red seams of the baseball. Max stepped into the pitch and hit a sharp line drive directly back at his grandfather. To his horror, the ball hit his grandfather on the side of his head. Instantly, Grandpa Schieffer collapsed to the ground. Max dropped his bat and flung off his helmet. He ran to his grandfather lying across home plate.
"Grandpa," he yelled. His grandfather lay face down, not moving. There was no blood. His eyes were closed.
"Grandpa, Grandpa," Max repeated. Tears were already welling up in his eyes.
Max placed both hands on his grandfather's shoulder and shook him gently.
"Opie, are you all right? Are you okay? I'm sorry."
The tears streamed down his face.
"Opie, I'm sorry, please don't die."
Max took his grandpa by the shoulder and attempted to roll him over. Grandpa Schieffer suddenly opened his eyes and blinked hard. He pushed himself onto his side slowly. He raised his hand to his right temple and then finally spoke.
"You clobbered my knucklebone, Max."
Max knelt down and threw his arms around his grandfather.
"You're okay. Help me up, will you?" Grandpa Schieffer said.
Max remained kneeling while Grandpa Schieffer braced himself on Max's shoulder. He stood up and placed a hand on the small of his back. He looked down at Max with a smile.
"I was afraid you were going to die," Max said.
"No, Max, I'm fine. I'm not ready to leave this earth yet."
Max paused to reflect as his grandfather started collecting baseballs on the ground.
"Do you miss Grandma?"
he suddenly asked. Grandpa Schieffer dropped a ball into the baseball sack. He bowed his head and scanned the ground for more balls.
"I miss her every day, Max."
"Why did she have to die?" Grandpa Schieffer dropped the sack to the ground and stooped to one knee in front of the boy.
"Maybe God had her picked for something special, Max," he reflected.
"Opie, tell me the truth. I know you don't believe in God. Mom told me so."
Grandpa Schieffer took the accusation silently.
"Tell me the truth,"
Max insisted.
"Max, maybe there is a God, maybe there isn't. I don't know the answer to that question."
"But you believe in science, right?"
"Yes, of course, you know some scientists believe, Einstein even, that all of time is out there, right now, every moment exists, somewhere."
Grandpa Schieffer smiled at Max.
"Maybe your grandma is still out there cooking her famous apple strudel. Right now."
"Then, do you think scientists could invent a time machine?"
"One day?
Someday.
Maybe in the future?
And we could go back and see her?" Max asked.
His face was earnest. A 747 flew low overhead, with a rumble.
"Maybe, Max, but not in our lifetime," Grandpa Schieffer said.
Grandpa pointed to the sky. "I'm afraid for today we're stuck with just plain old cars and planes." He looked into Max's face to see if he was pacified. Max was quiet.
"Let's go get some dinner."
"Okay, my boy,"